What'd you think of the hotel season?
It freaked me out.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I actually...
Lady Gaga's amazing in that.
Oh, I love Lady Gaga.
I do too.
This whole thing about like the Super Bowl, like, yeah, she's pretty good. I'm like, fuck you, man. Like, she's awesome.
She's always been good.
She's also really...
And I like that people are like, I'm glad she wasn't political. That was political as fuck.
It's because they're stupid.
Yeah, she said...
political?
Well, she came out and sang... This land is our land.
Yeah, that's a protest. It's a protest song.
That's a protest song. And then she did the Pledge of Allegiance, and she like really put a lot of accent on the for all at the end.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you noticed, but the rest of the performance was gay as shit.
It's Lady Gaga.
Which that in itself is kind of a protest in America right now, especially at halftime of the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry.
When there's all this anti-gay shit happening, and for her to put on that kind of performance at halftime of the Super Bowl.
If she had come out and sang Good Ship Lollipop, it would have been political. And here's why. Her whole career has been about this, that has been the same trajectory, which is like her Little Monsters and all this stuff. She's basically the new Madonna. There's no other way around it. And like, it was like when Madonna did Vogue.
Yeah.
Like Vogue is, voguing was, it's a gay thing. It's not like it wasn't.
Is it? But I'm so good at it.
Well, I just watched I just watched Paris is Burning again the other night with Miles and my husband, and
I don't think I've seen that.
You haven't seen Paris is Burning? It's so good. It's on Netflix right now. I want to recommend it to everybody listening to this show.
Nerd.
Just waiting.
Is there a hot tub in it?
No, it's about the ball. It's about the ballroom scene in New York and where voguing started and like where all of this stuff began.
So it's a documentary?
Yeah, you'll love it actually.
Yeah, I do like documentaries.
You're going to love it. But anyway, back to Lady Gaga, like I just think that like even just being a woman performing at the Super Bowl is political.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, and she's a political person.
She looked great. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because somebody had said something about her like little like tummy hanging over it. And she goes, whatever. I wore tight shorts so they wouldn't fall off. Like, and I was the whole time I was just amazed. Like, oh, my God, the kind of cardio she had to do to prepare.
Oh, my God. Look, being a woman is political. I mean, there are votes. Yeah. There are votes happening.
Talk about her outfits. Let's get back to politics.
I'm just saying, just people vote over what we can do with our own health. So I think being a woman is a political act, no matter what we do. So it's just funny that people are like, ugh. So Carrie, how are we going to bring all of this back?
This on to me,
Carrie.
First of all, let's quiz Caitlin on what she knows about sports. How many innings are in football?
Was that a trick question?
Was it?
Yeah, was it?
No.
Let's finger.
No, it's so weird.
No, it was great.
I feel like you're warming up to the idea of fingering.
I do. I like it a lot.
Oh yeah, you know,
I'm a fingering fan.
Yeah, it's always been a hard sell to get a guy into fingering.
Do you want to finger me, Adam? Do you want to finger diddle?
It's always been real difficult to get them interested in that. That's what I've noticed. Good job, Carrie.
Speaking of fingering, so some of these NFL players.
So that's our topic this week.
That's what I was saying. I was giving you a really elegant segue, but then you made me feel like a big old nerd.
We're talking
Let's
about.
Let's try this again. Adam, how are we going to make this episode back about the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Carrie?
Okay, so there's some players in the NFL who've done some shit.
Yeah, today we're going to cover ex-NFL. Hopefully they're all ex still.
Yeah, I believe they
are. Yeah, one of them retired, but he's an ex-football player now.
Ex-NFL, I almost said characters. I really did. Players.
Or earlier I said, wow, it seems like there's a lot of football players that we're covering. To which Adam was like, yeah, we're covering the NFL players who've committed crimes.
You, though.
Came up with this
came
topic.
Came up with the idea.
I know. I know. It's baffling.
Just in time for football to have ended like a month ago.
Topical.
We're covering football players who killed people.
Killed them. Killed them good.
Killed them good
killed
and dead.
Killed them real good.
Yep.
Killed them dead.
Yep. We got murder
in some cases.
There's a bunch of them.
There's some variety.
So I think we're going to start with Ray Carruth.
Ray Carruth. Oh, Ray Ray.
Maybe.
I feel like he would be called Ray Ray.
Oh, okay.
He's Southern, right? And I feel like that's a Southern thing.
Probably. Well, this happened in the South. He was in North Carolina at the time. On November 16th, 1999, near Ray Carruth's home in Charlotte, North Carolina, Sharika Adams, a real estate agent he'd been casually dating, was shot four times by Van Brett Watkins Sr., a nightclub manager and an associate of Carruth. Adams and Carruthers were returning to his home after going to the movies. They were in separate cars. Adams managed to call 911 before she died, and during the call, she said that Carruth stopped his car in front of hers, at which point another car pulled up alongside her and started shooting. Also, she was 8 months pregnant at the time. Aww. The baby survived, but because he went 70 minutes without oxygen, he also suffered permanent brain damage and cerebral palsy. And it's believed that Carruth wanted her dead because she refused to abort the baby.
This is why I don't watch That's heavy. Sports.
Is it, Caitlin?
It's one of the reasons, actually, yeah.
Every week, someone's murdering their pregnant girlfriend.
No, I just... Yeah, I mean, that's not a real reason, I'll be honest. But that's fucked up.
It's really fucked
up. That's so bad.
And he was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder, but not first-degree murder. So he's actually scheduled to be released in 2018. And I read an... I don't know why I didn't put the link to it, but I actually read a story about how the kid is planning to meet him when he gets out of prison.
How old is the kid now? 99?
Well, 99, so he'd be...
18?
Yeah. But he's got like almost all these 18, 17? Developmental issues.
Right.
Heartbreaking story. Carruth fled after... He turned himself in and paid $3 million bond, and they let him go. But they were like, if the baby or her dies, you have to come back and turn yourself in again.
Oh, that'll go. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then when she died, he obviously fled. And they finally found him in the trunk of his car outside a motel in Tennessee. And in the trunk, he had $3,900 in cash. Because
that's a hot trunk.
You're going to live forever. Yeah. Hot Tennessee? Trunk in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He had bottles of his own urine, extra clothes.
Which he drank.
Candy bars and a cell phone.
So wait a minute. His plan. I just want to make sure I have this right. $3,900. Now, I'm no expert on inflation, but 1999 wasn't that long ago.
He better be headed to Costa Rica with that.
Thailand. I mean, Costa Rica is not... No, he really needs like... Yeah. But what kind of mental state are you in where you're like, plan A is a trunk in Tennessee?
Have you ever heard Steve Harvey's bit about this? Did I already ask you this?
No.
You asked me and I hadn't heard it.
Let's listen. It's from back when Steve Harvey cursed and was funny. This is from the original Kings of Comedy. This is Steve Harvey.
Oh, I love this special. Actually, maybe I have seen it and I just didn't know it was a real thing.
You need to boo with me. Y'all need some laughs because I tell you right now, all the news about your football team ain't been good news. Ray Carruth. What the hell was on Ray Ray mind? Hey, look, first of all, just let me say this. I ain't here to talk about guilt or innocence, because that ain't my job. I don't know what he
Steve
did
Harvey
or whether he did
so
or whatever. All I want
to
know is...
What happened to him?
He got religious.
Who helped plan the goddamn escape? Was this not the ignorantest shit you ever seen? What was his little punk ass thinking? Damn it, normally when you running from the law, you want to get a passport. Go to Canada, Brazil, Mexico. No, no, not Ray Ray. Ray Ray took his ass to Nashville. What Nashville, about 200 miles? In a damn car. What is your ignorant ass thinking about? Do you know who looking for you, Ray Ray? The FBI. Go to no goddamn Nashville. Like they ain't gonna spot your black ass in Nashville. And where did this little retarded son bitch try to hide? In the goddamn trunk. Well, I know y'all couldn't even believe that shit. Y'all had to be back in Charlotte going, I know good and well this motherfucker ain't in this trunk. I bet when they open, I bet the son bitch better not be in that trunk. That little motherfucker is in the goddamn trunk. Get your black ass out that trunk. I see some of y'all ain't laughing. You kiss my ass. That's funny. Ain't no need to get mad at me, goddammit. I ain't shot nobody. You know, I'm all for uplifting black people. But goddammit, it's some shit you ain't got no business doing. Now somebody gone because you asked and tripped.
I feel like you went way out of your way to make sure that I knew that my thought was not that original.
What?
I'm just kidding.
No. No.
No, I'm totally kidding.
I tried to stop you first.
No, it was good. Thank you. Like, oh, Jet, here she comes. What happened to him? I was so quiet during that because I just the whole time I was just thinking like,
yeah, Steve Harvey used to be really great.
He's a son of a bitch now.
Yeah,
have you watched? Have you watched his daytime show?
No, unless you mean Family Feud.
Yeah,
no, he has a talk show. It's
yeah,
like,
he's got a talk show.
It's like Creflo Dollar. Seriously,
like what?
Do you know what Creflo Dollar is? He's the guy that he's the preacher that asks people to send in money to.
Oh. He asks for money.
No, but it's like that cheesy.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen his like TV show.
I don't get it. Like I mean, he doesn't seem like a bad guy, but it's like somebody took all the fun out of him somehow.
Yeah, he got really religious. He stopped cursing because I remember I saw he used to be on a TV show.
I don't remember him being like an alt comic. Like I don't remember him talking about like jacking off on or anything. Like he could have taken all of the swear words out of what he just said. And
oh,
it still would have been funny.
It still worked.
I don't understand.
Yeah, he just once he made that switch, his I don't think I've even heard him really do comedy since then.
Yeah, I know that he does.
He doesn't have to.
But I imagine that it's not great. But
it's not.
Yeah, he's funny on Family Feud.
Material.
He what?
I said, who likes clean material?
Not me.
Ellen's stuff used to be really.
Yeah, oh yeah, like Ellen is.
Ellen was clean, and I'm a Seinfeld girl, so right there, that's pretty. That was pretty clean. Mm-hmm.
I wish Ellen did more stand up.
I bet she will eventually again.
Yeah.
I think she loves to perform, and I think that she's scratching that itch pretty well doing her show's fun. She's really funny.
She's a great host whenever she does the Oscars.
Yeah.
She also is just a good host in like she's a gracious host and knows how to make anything and anyone seem interesting and funny.
Yeah.
Because she's got some duds on there pretty consistently. But every time I've watched it, I've been like, oh, yeah, I like Ellen.
Danger's wife works for Ellen.
Oh, really?
For that show. And Danger has the best Ellen hoodie. And I want it so bad.
I want an Ellen hoodie.
It's like a powder blue. It's adorable.
Can we all go to a taping of Ellen somehow?
I bet we can.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let's go to a taping of
rolls
Ellen.
Deep.
We really do.
I mean, we could really.
Can we get our entourage into Ellen, please?
I bet we could. We just wait in line, right? It's just reserved. Like, it's not.
Probably.
You guys, by the way, big secret, come to LA, you could probably see anything.
You can go to literally any show you want.
If you're confused about it, just tweet at us.
If you're at home watching Real Time with Bill Maher thinking, how would I ever get tickets? Just walk on Hollywood Boulevard and look naive.
Remember, they need you.
Someone will go, here, take tickets.
That's how I went to see Lisa Gibbons. Lisa Gibbons, who was also a Delta, 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 just like myself.
Southern
just
Carrie.
Like myself. No,
I told you, it comes out. There's Southern Carrie, reared her beautiful head. It shows up. All right, we got another murdery guy.
Robert Rozier. Or maybe it's Rozier.
Or maybe it's Robert Rozier.
Oh.
That's what it made me think of.
I bet.
Robert Rozier.
Now, he didn't have a remarkable career. He had a career like much like the head of Mothman. It was unremarkable.
Clumsy runner, too?
Clumsy runner only lasted 6 games in the league.
Oh, he was a clumsy runner.
Before he was cut over substance abuse issues. But then really turned his life around by joining a black supremacist cult called the Temple of Love, run by a gay.
Oh. Whoa, what are you selling? Pasta? What's your deal? Easy, Barilla lover.
Run by a guy named Yahweh Ben Yahweh. Probably not his real name.
What makes you say that?
I don't, you know, just a hunch.
You know what I like about you is your instincts.
Yeah, it's my gut. I feel it. I hear that name. And my gut tightens up.
Carrie likes the name.
Carrie Ben Carrie.
Carrie always been Carrie.
Just always been, always will.
See, it's back. I love Southern Carrie.
Carrie Ben Carrie.
Southern Carrie is just one of my favorite things in the world.
It's the only thing I've got.
That's not true. That's not true. You're doing great. You're amazing.
But see, here's the thing about the Temple of Love.
Sure, go ahead.
Much like, Bret Michaels' Rock of Love.
Yeah.
There's
much like a
different levels to it.
A secret sect in a sorority.
There it is. There's a
the other level we needed.
There's a secret part of the Temple of Love, a secret sect called the Brotherhood. And in 1985, Robert Rozier decided to join the Brotherhood. And all you have to do, which this sounds pretty easy, honestly.
Straightforward.
You just have to murder a white devil and return with a body part to prove it. And he killed 7 people, so I don't know if he just kept forgetting the body part
over
every time, like
he's you over
excited that he finally did it, and then he's driving back like, oh no,
I forgot
again.
Wait, I think it's interesting. It's any body part.
Yeah.
Like, how would you choose maybe, every time? Would you switch it up?
Maybe he wasn't.
Maybe he was going to build a white devil with the body parts he was bringing back.
Maybe. What I was going to say is maybe he wasn't getting white devils.
Oh, like maybe he was getting the good ones.
Regular white people.
Yeah. This guy's actually donates to the NAACP.
Yahweh Ben Yahweh was just like, oh, man. Listen.
Is Robert, that a kid?
Rob, this is a really nice white lady. This is not
her name is
devil.
Mrs. Duty. She is a taxpaying citizen.
She's involved in some shit that I can't get into right now, but I assure you this is not of the white devil variety. You need to go back out there 7 times late. It's just not good.
7 times.
He couldn't do anything right. He couldn't do the NFL part right. He couldn't kill the white devil.
He did prison pretty well.
Did he?
Because after he was finally arrested, but he agreed to testify against the Temple of Love.
Snitches get stitches and dig graves.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Carrie's finger me. No!
We're getting good at it.
I got to be ready with my camera.
I can almost not look now.
Yeah.
That is how you know it's getting good. It's like it goes faster.
Yeah, yeah.
The process is a lot
more confident. We're just building confidence.
Yeah, the first time was 25 minutes.
We edited all that out, but yeah.
It was awful for me. I just want to put it out there. I just had to sit here eating my giant piece of cake.
So this guy, he agreed to testify against the organization. So his 7 murders only got him 22 years in prison. And he was released after 10.
Good behavior.
Yeah. But then in 1999, he was arrested for writing a bad check, which
Robert sucks.
For $66, I didn't know. They arrest you for writing.
That's what I thought, too.
No.
But then it goes on to talk about the time the California's 3 strikes laws.
Yeah. They eventually found a trail of 29 bad checks totaling more than $2,000, which is enough to charge him with a felony. So then he went to prison for life because of the 3 strikes.
That's fine. I don't mind him being in jail.
It seems like the bad check writing would have been the gateway to the murders.
I mean, he literally did everything wrong. This guy
didn't
even
backwards.
This guy didn't even do being a criminal right.
Yeah, he was bad at it.
It's so disappointing.
Is it? Why?
Well, when you but think about like bumming out someone named Yahweh Ben Yahweh. Like, that's how much you fucked up. There's a dude named Yahweh Ben Yahweh that's like not good enough.
What happened to him?
I'm sure he's fine.
I'm sure he went to prison. Because
I would think so.
If you're leading any kind of organization that's about the empowerment of black people,
can we do
the government's coming for you.
Can we do an episode
especially
about
back
this?
Then.
I want to do an episode about this.
Yeah, we could do an episode about this.
That's interesting.
It sounds fascinating, yeah.
I've never heard of. I mean, not only do I not understand football, I didn't understand that there were cults with multiple tiers involved in some of their ex-members.
Yeah, I don't know much. I hadn't heard much about this.
Can you imagine getting that close to your dream and just kind of not being good at it?
That would really suck.
That would fuck you up, right? Because, so you're in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like Margaret Cho used to tell this really great joke about being surrounded by gay guys growing up in San Francisco. She's like, you know, when I was a little girl, I used to pray to God that one day I hope when I get older, I'll be surrounded by attractive men. And I should have been more specific. Such a good joke. And I think about that joke a lot just because it's like, if you're not specific enough about what you want in life, I think that's the kind of situation you can end up in. Because this is a guy who was dumb enough to think that just getting into the NFL was going to solve something for him.
Right.
When really you got to be like a Tom Brady who's like, no, you have to like be the guy. Or it doesn't matter. Because we could do a whole other episode about, this is, of course, the part of sports that I do understand. Their healthcare costs after they're out of the NFL
cripple
them. They cripple them financially because they're not covered by the NFL.
Right.
They don't have a lot of long-term thinking as far as like planning, or they would have less babies.
Mm.
Good point.
Right?
Carrie, good, solid point.
I think they're called like ATM dads or ATM something. There's like a name for them. And some have up to like 13. We should see how many children.
Jesus. But I mean, just thinking about like their own.
Player has.
I was just rear-ended twice in November and I'm waking up every day in pain. So I can't imagine having a 350-pound person running at me at 60 miles an hour. How many times a year?
How fast is he running?
60 miles an hour.
Holy shit.
That's how much I know about sports. You ready?
Seems fast.
That's fast.
That's football.
That's very fast.
That's football.
That would make it a hard sport to follow.
Football.
If everyone was zipping around at 60 miles an hour, it would just look like traffic.
No, it's hard to film speed. No, I mean, that's why I always assume they go faster than that. Anyway, I just think, you know, I just reading over that story on the way, thinking about doing this episode, I thought, like, that's depressing.
Yeah, it really is.
Margaret Cho made out with Anna Nicole Smith once.
Oh, I'm glad we're back here. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, we had a weird...
I feel like... Do I have Tourette's?
We had a weird situation over the planning of this...
We almost...
...podcast. Carrie just messaged us the words Anna Nicole, and I went...
3 a.m.
I went... I replied at like 3 a.m. and said, oh, that would make a really great episode about... And I rattled off all these...
Yeah.
Things that tie into it, and maybe 19 and a half hours later, I get a reply finally that just says, I was trying to send an Aaron Hernandez video, and I've never been more confused.
We're going to have to share screen grabs of our group chats, because
that's what we could do. We've been posting the notes from all the episodes on the website.
That does not capture.
Yeah, we should just post our planning.
The planning of these is about what you would think. But yeah, the best part is we can't... Oh, they'll get this.
Well, you got Anna Nicole. I'm confused, and I was just like, good. Because I was driving, and I didn't have time to write a long answer.
Carrie's like my favorite person to be in a group chat with, because if she's busy or not interested in the conversation, she'll just start sending GIFs that don't make any sense, or middle finger emojis, which she did bring up in the last episode, yes. But that is accurate. I've seen it happen. We were planning a show with somebody we know, and he sends a bunch of like questions about how we're going to set up and where we're bringing equipment, and Carrie just sends like five middle fingers in a row, and I'm like, I'll handle this, Carrie. No problem. I will pick up that what has been put down.
Oh.
Anyway, so yeah, these guys getting hit 60 miles an hour.
Fingering.
Yay.
That's not so bad. Yeah, when you're on the other end, right?
When you're on the receiving end of the fingering, it's not that bad.
I just want to bring up the fact that the sun has now.
I know.
Yeah, I've been noticing it too, and I don't know if I should.
Liking your eyelashes.
It's the.
Do you want to give a little scoot over to the...
It's actually shocking, because I've never been in a situation where
there's
sun...
nothing here.
I'll move. Let me just get this out, is all I'm saying. Like, I've been sitting here for hours now, and it's been fine. And suddenly the sun has crept into a space where it's unbearable.
I've heard that throughout the day, the sun moves it.
No,
moves
that's witchcraft.
Trajectory.
You're wrong. No, that's not what happens.
So it moves during the day.
It's a giant
and
hand that moves the world.
At one point, it'll set.
So football players run at 60 miles an hour.
Exactly.
So
yes.
Anyway. They write bad checks.
So you were talking about someone getting close to their dreams and having it ruined.
This guy's a good example also.
This is a good example of someone not losing their dreams just because of a minor murder.
What? No.
But he was already retired, right?
No. When this happened, this was like 1999, I think. It was after Super Bowl 34 in Atlanta.
I feel like a lot of these are from 99, and I'm wondering if people were scared about 2000, and they're like, we're all going to die anyway.
Yeah, we're all going to die anyway.
It's party like it's 1999.
I might as well murder
Literally.
Someone in
murder
the parking
like it's
lot of the strip club.
Did Prince know about Y2K?
I think he invented it.
Oh, sweet.
I think we were supposed to stop after 1999, and because of Prince, we added more years.
That's he saved the world.
The Jehovah's Witness stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to do an episode on Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Can we please?
They're a creepy bunch.
No birthdays.
No birthdays.
No Christmas.
No Christmas.
They're like the Grinch religion.
No blood transfusions.
That's where I really would have died.
Yeah, yeah.
Several times.
Oh, yeah, you specifically.
It's,
I feel
it,
like...
Yes.
I would have been the one that got the AIDS blood. Like, that's my luck.
Oh.
I would have been the Ryan White.
I knew a lot of kids that got the AIDS blood.
But ostracized.
In the 80s.
Did you say Ryan White but ostracized? Because Ryan White had it great.
I like how I dropped the AIDS blood reference and they're like, but what about Ryan White? Caitlin, you knew AIDS kids, but let's clarify Carrie's weird comment. I got her. You guys, she's down. She's down for the count.
Okay. Anyway, all right, we're back good. To Ryan Lewis.
Ray Lewis.
Less Ryan White, more Ray Lewis.
Got I'm it. Just glad that we finally got to AIDS in this episode. That it took a while.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah.
It took long enough.
I think in every episode, we should just try to wind our way towards AIDS and then
back. Winding our way towards AIDS.
Streets can that be our new
Philadelphia.
Theme song?
Na, 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 na. Anyway.
Put down that dirty needle.
So let's talk about Ray Lewis.
Okay, who's that?
We have 8 pages of notes, and we are on page...
Two-ish?
Two? Three? Yeah, we're on page 2. Oh. Top of page 2.
Well...
But that's because...
Our grand finale takes up a big chunk.
Yeah. I had planned to talk about one of these on a different podcast, and we...
Okay, good.
We all pivoted. Right.
Who's Ray Lewis? Pivot!
Ray Lewis was a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. He just retired a few years ago.
He'll nerd!
Probably...
You're the nerd!
He'll probably be in the Hall of Fame someday, and he probably also maybe killed a guy after the Super Bowl in Atlanta. What happened, this fight broke out in the parking lot of the Cobalt Lounge in the Buckhead section of Atlanta.
That's a nice section.
In one corner, Baltimore Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis and an entourage of more than 10 people. In the other corner, Jacinth Baker, 21, and Richard Lawler, 24. According to a witness named Jeff Gwen, who is a rapper from Akron, Ohio, who I hope uses a stage name.
Yeah.
Jeff Gwynn! Jeff Gwynn raps!
Boo!
Nope. No one's buying those tickets.
And according to him, as he and a friend were leaving the club, their conversation, and I quote, about women at the club...
It's a good topic.
...was interrupted by a friend of Ray Lewis's named Reginald Oakley. And Ray Lewis and a still unidentified man pulled him away and tried to apologize... But there were insults exchanged, and Jacinth Baker hit Reginald Oakley over the head with a champagne bottle. So now it's lit.
But it's weird because if they were outside of the club, how did he have the champagne bottle?
That I don't know.
Right?
He had a crazy straw and was drinking champagne from the bottle.
Maybe.
That's my...
She doesn't smear his lipstick?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be. So then a fight ensues, and no one who was near these men, as usual, can say for sure who stabbed them.
Not for sure.
But there was a stabbing.
Where's Mrs. Duty when you need her?
Exactly.
Where's Mrs. Duty? Say her name 3 times in a mirror and she appears. Mrs. Duty, Mrs. Duty, Mrs. Duty.
Oh my God, there she is!
Everybody calm down, all right? I just cleaned this floor. You're all going crazy. You broke a bottle of champagne on a nice young man's head. I don't understand. Y'all have nice jobs. Y'all football players.
And it was a remarkable head.
He had a beautiful, very remarkable head. The other guy's kind of a weird runner, though. I gotta say, he's a clumsy runner. That's just... Thanks, Carrie.
Do it, Adam.
Do it. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Don't reluctant. I feel like it's we're fine. You haven't done it. Do it with Adam. Do it. Finger Adam.
Finger me, Caitlin. Oh, that was good. Oh, we did man. It.
This is... That never happened to me in high school. Nobody ever reached out for me. Anyway, that's a bad party. So
yeah,
again,
it's
nobody,
a bad party.
Nobody's saying shit.
A security guard named Kevin Brown claimed he saw 2 men fighting with Baker and the other 2 fighting with Lawler. And after clearing the area, he saw Baker lying on the pavement and then looked up to see Lawler walking toward them. Both were fatally wounded.
Mm.
He said he saw a knife on the ground, heard someone say, "I stabbed him." And then he called 911. Meanwhile, Ray Lewis and 10 members of his entourage pile into a Lincoln Navigator that Lewis had rented. And as they drive away, someone fires shots at the car. They eventually found bloodstains from one of the victims in the vehicle. But a witness said that along the way, a passenger dumped a white hotel laundry bag in a dumpster outside a fast food restaurant. Another witness kind of said the same thing. They saw someone exit the car and walk toward a trash can. And prosecutors say that bag contained Ray Lewis's bloodstained suit, which has never been found.
Hmm.
But there was a knife found next to the victims.
Oh.
But it was found to have no blood or fingerprints on it.
Oh.
So probably not the knife used in the murder.
I'm feeling no.
But they did trace it back to a sporting goods store where Ray Lewis was signing autographs the day before.
But he's got an entourage.
Yeah, he had an entourage.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. Could have been anybody in his crew.
Well, that's devil's advocate?
Yes.
I love it when you get the snot nose. It's my favorite, Caitlin.
If I laugh hard, there's just boogers.
We just bought these foam things for the microphones,
too. I'm not wiping
too.
My nose on them. Don't worry. I need it on Pop's Kleenex, though. That's definitely a hanky, if you may. Honestly, my face just starts leaking the second we sit down to do the show, because I'm always laughing so hard I can't keep it together.
Doh.
Mm-hmm. So it could be somebody's entourage.
It could be, yeah. But a family friend of Ray Lewis and a witness to the incident later said that he had the receipt for one of the knives that he believed was used in the fight, and Lewis's signature and phone number were on the receipt.
They have a receipt with all of that information?
Yeah, they kept the receipts.
Maybe, I mean, at some point there isn't like a thing in his mind where he's like, maybe I shouldn't use this thing that has my contact information attached to it somehow.
Yeah, you would think. But that's kind of how he got out of it, because they eventually arrested Ray Lewis, Reginald Oakley, and another man named Joseph Sweeting. And at first they were all three charged with murder, but then Lewis turned on them and testified that he saw them buying knives at the sporting goods store.
Okay.
And he pled his case down to obstruction of justice, because when he got in the limo that night, he said, nobody say anything. So they gave him obstruction of justice, but no one ever went to jail for this. Everyone was acquitted. The two people he turned on were acquitted on self-defense.
Snitches get stitches and dig graves.
Right.
Good job.
Good job, Carrie.
Yeah.
Like a nursery rhyme.
It's actually probably not as dark as others, but yes.
Yeah.
Ring Around the Rosie has some horrible origins.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fairy, like those nursery rhymes and fairy tales. They're all horrifying.
All child death related.
Yeah. Good times.
Mm-hmm.
But Lewis was eventually sued for wrongful death by the families of both victims and settled out of court.
I don't want to hang out with him.
No, he seems like an awful person.
He rolls deep.
But Roger Goodell, who was the commissioner of the NFL, did eventually appoint Ray Lewis as one of his special advisors, because he said he brings a voice of reason to
what
the situation,
huh?
Which would be like, I don't know,
saying
making Steve Bannon your chief strategist.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like to me.
Pretty much.
I don't even know much about sports in general, and I know Goodell's a piece of shit. So
yeah, everyone hates him.
He got booed again, and we'll always get booed, and I'm fine with that.
Why do people hate him so much?
Because he does things like cover up findings about CTE, and he also helps deal in weird cover-ups of domestic violence issues between NFL players, and among many other awful things. Those are my least favorite things about him.
Yeah, he does a lot. He's a bad guy.
So how did he become the commissioner?
I don't know. I think he was just hired.
I think he knew Batman.
Because he's probably been around for a while.
Yeah. Alfred got him the job.
Yeah. He knew a guy who killed a guy.
Speaking of a guy who killed a guy, let's talk about Dante Stallworth quick before we get to our headliner. Dante Stallworth, on the morning of March 14th, 2009, struck and killed a pedestrian while driving his car on the MacArthur Causeway in Miami Beach. He was drinking the night before, was still legally drunk at the time, and was under the influence of marijuana.
That happens to me a lot.
Yeah.
Not the marijuana.
Or the killing of someone?
No, still drunk, the legally drunk the I've next always morning.
I found this detail really weird. Stallworth claims he flashed his car's headlights to warn Reyes before hitting him. Why don't you just slow down?
Right. That's weird.
They had a deal!
A police report said Reyes was not in a crosswalk when he was hit. That's why you gotta obey the laws.
I've gone on record saying I have a really hard time feeling sorry for people that get hit by cars.
Yeah, this guy did only get DUI manslaughter. So he didn't.
Well, he got the thing he could get.
Yeah, he got 30 days in jail and 1,000 hours of community service.
Right, because he could afford a good lawyer. That's what happened.
Yeah, and to avoid a civil suit, he settled out of court with the Reyes family.
Right, because he's got a good lawyer.
Yeah. There are some fun postscripts to this story, though. For one, Dante Stallworth was later hospitalized on March 16, 2013 with serious burns after the hot air balloon carrying him and two other people crashed into power lines above South Florida.
Florida.
You,
hot air balloons make no sense.
Yeah,
to
you
me.
Escaped possible life in prison. And now you're going to just go jeopardize it by getting in a fucking hot air balloon?
I think hot air ballooning, I'm mad right now. I think hot air ballooning is the dumbest thing you could do with a healthy living body. The only way you would get me hot air ballooning is if I was terminally ill. That's it.
Yeah.
I've been hot air ballooning, but the girl that I went with then went again in Temecula with her boyfriend.
She went again.
She went again.
Because you need that experience twice.
And
did she die?
No. Something happened, though, with when they pulled
bad
on the
enough.
Fire, and it caught some of the people's hair on fire. And I believe it was either when it was landing or something. So anyway, her hair caught on fire, and her boyfriend pulled her out because they were like, or she jumped out, one of the two, because they were already by the ground. And she was able to sue the
hot air company. I hope so.
Yeah, she I would got, hope.
A lot of money.
Good, as she should. This hair is on fire. Honestly, like, I don't understand. I understand skydiving a little bit more than I understand hot
too.
Air balloon.
Yeah.
And bungee jumping. I've done that too.
Of course you have.
I think I want to die.
Well, that's a different podcast.
I saw a video of a guy who bungee jumped off a bridge and the bungee cord snapped, but he lived.
I don't want to live through that.
He was fine. Like, he just, because it snapped at that point where you get like all the way down and your momentum is starting
to
slow down.
So he just kind of like plopped onto the ground?
Yeah. So instead of it snapping him back up in the air, it just, when he was right above the water, it just snapped and he just like fell 8 feet into the water. And
that's a stupid thing to do.
Yeah. Hmm. I would never do it.
So you get out of manslaughter / DUI. I don't know. I feel like if you're getting out of something like that, you're exactly the kind of person that hops in a fucking hot air balloon.
And writes for the Huffington Post. Mm. Because that happened in September 2014. He was hired by Dante Stallworth was hired by the Huffington Post for a 6-month fellowship covering national security politics full time out of their Washington, D.C. office. Neat.
Security?
National security.
Doesn't that seem weird?
Like
he's the new Jack Bauer.
Like terrorism blogging?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. That seems like a natural leap from the NFL and from killing a guy.
I think that, you know, being part of the NFL opens up any number of opportunities for you, including getting away with manslaughter.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have this in the notes, but after Dante Stallworth got all this worked out, he was cut by the team he was with before and picked up by the New England Patriots.
Oh, I know that team.
And that plays into who we're going to talk about next and the Patriots in general, because they have...
This guy I know about.
This guy, Mrs. Duty, can you please announce our next?
This is the gentleman that I understand. I've read a lot about. No, but seriously, this guy I actually...
Aaron Hernandez.
I know who this is.
Yeah. He is another example of the Patriots signing a guy with behavioral problems, but so much worse.
Behavioral problems?
But so much talent.
Yeah, he had a ton of talent. He was NFL tight end, one of the best tight ends. On August 27, 2012, he signed a 5-year, $40 million contract extension with the Patriots, which is the second largest contract ever for an NFL tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a year later, on June 26, 2013, he was arrested and charged with murder in the death of Odin Lloyd, whose body had been found 9 days earlier in an industrial park a mile from Hernandez's house. And we probably... Do we want to get into all the early life shit?
No. Why?
Yeah, I have some... Well, he had a rough childhood.
Some of it. It is interesting.
Yeah, he was born to... His father was also a very talented athlete, but also a criminal.
Okay.
Who fucked up his career by going to prison. His mom... Because I think this does kind of play into, like, his... He had serious trust issues.
Interesting.
Right.
Yeah, his mom at one point was arrested and as part of a betting ring, and they put her name in the local papers. That super embarrassed him. But his mom also was having an affair with a local cocaine dealer nicknamed Meathead.
Mm-hmm.
And His real name was Jeffrey Cummings, and he was married to Aaron Hernandez's father's niece.
Aaron Hernandez's father's niece. Aaron's cousin?
So, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It would be. Aaron Hernandez's cousin, Tanya, who he used regularly.
It's just a complicated way of saying cousin. Right.
And at one point, Tanya showed up to one of Aaron's brother's high school football games and slapped Aaron Hernandez's mom in the face for sleeping with her husband. And then to make all that worse, Aaron Hernandez's dad died when he was 16. He went in for a routine hernia surgery and contracted an infection that killed him. And then Terry Hernandez, his mother.
That infection was AIDS.
Probably.
And sometimes it kills if it's full blown in 3 days.
Very poignant. Like a Eazy-E.
Mm-hmm.
Took him out right away.
I'm glad we got to AIDS again.
Yeah, finally.
Always to come back.
It's a twofer.
We're always trying to build our way back to AIDS.
Yeah.
So then his mom moved that abusive coke dealer boyfriend into the house.
He comes from a family of good decision makers. Yeah,
comes from a really rough background, but he was also a very talented athlete, and he was good with people. Two of the people he fell in with, though, were a couple of local drug dealers named Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz. And boy, will they play into this story in a second.
Brap, brap.
A 2016 article described Aaron Hernandez as a child as social tofu, absorbing the flavor of whatever he touches, which I thought was interesting.
So he's a psychopath.
Yeah, he's a psychopath.
Like that, that's what I hear when I
Well, I think it says that.
Yeah, superficial charm, one of the characteristics of psychopathy. It's actually number one on the psychopathy checklist. Is superficial charm.
Is that psychopathy?
I don't think so.
Mom, dad.
It could be. Why are you being such a
oh, God.
Sicko about this.
I love that you had to think about it.
Yeah, I had to think with the beginning of... And I still fucked it up.
You know, I was hanging out with my dad's brother's daughter the other day, and she's a real psychopath.
Psychopath. So, yeah, he still managed to be a really great player.
I see what you did.
Uh-huh. It took a minute, but yeah, you got there.
He was a great, really great high school football player. That earned him
Nobody gets to the NFL. They were like, you know, in high school he was really okay, but man, when he got into college, he was way better.
Well, sometimes though, there were like
really.
There's a guy who played in the NFL for a lot of years for the Indianapolis Colts named Marcus Pollard, I believe his first name was Marcus.
Okay,
but he went to college in Peoria, Illinois at Bradley.
What?
And what do we know about Bradley?
Because we're from Peoria.
But what do we know about them? No football team.
Yes.
So he didn't even play college football and still got drafted by the Colts and had a really long college
Does that happen?
Because he's just a good athlete.
How does he showcase his athletic ability?
He played basketball in college.
Who is that guy from the Rams who was like a beggar at a grocery store?
Oh, Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a success story, so it can happen.
I would say that's definitely a success story. But sorry, I'm falling apart.
A bagger at a grocery store? That's great.
Meh.
No, that's what I think. I'm on your side.
I'm hearing that I have hope.
Yeah.
Yes. That's all I'm hearing.
For your NFL dreams?
Yeah. Boy, that would really be something.
That would.
You could go back to your high school, all the surrounding high schools.
That guy was going at least 60 miles an hour.
So Aaron Hernandez gets to Florida, where he goes to college.
That's really where everything started to fall apart for him.
And everyone immediately recognizes this guy's a basket case.
Mm-hmm.
So Urban Meyer, who is devoutly religious, would have Aaron Hernandez in his office every morning where he'd read him Bible verses, which just having to meet with someone every morning would make me want to murder. Like, not even getting into the subject matter. I would just be like, I'm going to kill somebody if we have to have another one of these meetings.
Well, and also, I feel like religion kind of is a massive fuel to the fire thing. Like,
yeah, especially in this case. Because if anything, you're just going to make him feel guilty.
Not good.
If he's a
psychopath, he's not going to feel guilty. But I think that it is going to, for me, what I would put together with that, and this is, I'm literally nobody. Nobody should listen to what I'm about to say, but I'm still going to say it. Because he's a sponge, I feel like that's a much more dangerous way to go because he just figures out how to please this person, keep this one at bay, so he can be whoever it is that he is out there, And if the gauge of him being crazy is just kept in, under control in that daily meeting, then he could get away with anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'm a psychopath. I thought
Urban Meyer tried, though.
And he did get away with a lot.
It's true, Carrie. Mm-hmm. He did try.
He got away with quite a bit. He was assigned to three different people to kind of be his off-field advisors. One was Tim Tebow, Jesus's favorite quarterback, and Mike and Marquise Pouncey, who were considered his off-field babysitters. Aaron Hernandez is not Jesus. And none of it worked.
No, of course not.
There was one incident during his freshman year while he was out with Tebow at a bar. He got in an altercation with a waiter who wanted him to pay for the drinks he'd ordered.
What a dick.
Like, what a piece of shit that what guy is.
What a twat.
So, it's back.
I love twat.
So, this waiter is trying to escort him out of the restaurant, and Aaron Hernandez punched him in the head, ruptured his eardrum, but the matter was settled out of court.
Mm-hmm.
And the police treated it as a juvenile offense. And then in the summer, between his first and second season, he failed multiple drug tests and had to sit out the season opener. But then there was a third incident. This time, Hernandez was out with the Pouncey brothers at a bar when two men tried to snatch a chain from one of
the Pouncey brothers.
The Pouncey brothers.
I don't get that. Sorry.
I know. I also don't get that.
My phone just scared
that
me.
Mike and Marquise Pouncey, the two offensive linemen.
No, I understand. But I think it's weird.
Oh, that I didn't. But
when someone tried to snatch a chain, like a wallet chain?
No, like a necklace. Like they were like wearing big gold chains, like athletes and rappers and entertainers in Miami.
Why would he try
or Jacksonville, Gainesville.
Pastors.
Yeah.
Creflo Dollar.
So they're obviously big guys.
Like, they try to snatch one of their chains.
Everybody's on drugs, Carrie.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And a big altercation breaks out, but then they get in a car and drive away. And while the people who tried to snatch the chains were stopped at a red light, someone stepped out of a nearby vehicle and fired five shots into their car through the passenger side window.
Brap, brap, brap.
Bow, bow, bow.
Bow, bow, bow.
And none of the victims died. But one of them described the shooter as a tall Hispanic or Hawaiian man with lots of tattoos. And if you've ever seen Aaron Hernandez, that's Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking it was The Rock. Just saying.
Maybe it was The Rock. Maybe they're completely off base with
sounds
this one.
Like the
off
Rock.
The mark.
And he refused to talk to police, weirdly enough.
Can you do that?
I guess. He got a lawyer and refused to talk to police about it. And
I guess that's what pleading the fifth is.
And he was never charged. So it didn't derail his career. He had a great college career. And then he gets drafted by the Patriots.
And then.
But not right away. He should have been a first round pick.
Yeah, he should have. Because of all his off field troubles, he should have been a first round pick. He ended up dropping to the fourth round where the Patriots picked him up. They signed him to an NFL minimum contract, which is just $435,000 a year, guys. I don't know how he lived.
I don't either.
How do you live? How do you survive on that?
He's got a lot of tattoos.
In Massachusetts?
I'm stressed out even thinking about it.
Yeah. But it's $450,000 now.
Chump change.
But over the first 3 years, he's really, successful.
I do want to say, considering how much money the NFL makes, like, in general, the fact that they are only paying these people $450,000 is crazy.
Well, that's because they're paying some of them.
Right.
Like I don't care.
$50 million.
I don't care. It doesn't make any sense. They're technically a nonprofit, first of all. It's insane to me that the amount of money that you generate by just being there and playing, and I understand that some people feel differently about this, but like it's not like normal corporate America where, you know, if you're bad at your job, you don't offer anything. If you're a dude in a football uniform sitting there being in the football game, you're generating a ton of money for the team.
Yeah.
But this was his first year. They didn't know how he was going to play, like whether he was going to be good or bad.
I still think...
At that point, people are just so excited to make the NFL that...
But that's my point. It's like anything. It's even with art. You could even make the argument.
It's smarter than the NFL, I think.
It's smarter than the NFL.
I mean, in terms of
minimum
wage, it's not bad.
I'm not saying that this is not a lot of money. This is a ton of money. I'm just thinking... I'm sorry, I just think...
Caitlin burns 20s at her house for fun.
That's all I do. When you break it down to a percentage, then I really look like a badass. But honestly, I just think in one game how much money the NFL makes in advertisement revenue and all this other shit the stadium makes by people just showing up and eating, and it's insane.
Well, you'll be happy to know that after his first two seasons, they signed him to that huge contract extension.
Oh, I'm relieved.
So he got the $40 million over 5 years, included a $2.5 million signing bonus.
That's still new money. Largest, that's not even close to the kind of money that they make.
Largest ever given to a tight end.
Uh-huh.
So that was good. They did finally reward him for his play.
They did right by him.
And he rewarded them by immediately going out and murdering a bunch of more people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they paid for.
But weeks just prior to signing that contract, he also allegedly murdered two men at a nightclub in Boston, which I think he's on trial for this now.
Mm-hmm. It starts February, yeah.
Yeah. Daniel De Abreu and Safiro Furtado. What's craziest about this, these two didn't even know he was mad. One of them bumped into him and made him spill his drink, and there wasn't really much of an altercation. He just spent the rest of the night seething about how this guy intentionally bumped into him and disrespected him. So when they left the club, Aaron Hernandez followed them, and his friend tried to calm him down. It didn't work. So when they left the club, they were unaware Aaron Hernandez was following them. They stopped at a red light. Aaron Hernandez stopped his SUV next to them, fired multiple shots into the passenger side of the victim's vehicle. De Abreu and Furtado died as a result of their injuries. And this was weeks before he signed that huge contract. So this isn't even the murder that got him kicked out of the league.
Mm-mm. Right. Roger Goodell's a creep.
You skipped over the...
There's no way they don't know that this is going on.
Oh, yeah.
Some of this could maybe be related to the fact that he reportedly also started smoking PCP.
Oh, yeah.
And he was increasingly paranoid.
Whoops.
Yeah.
About it people started, trying him.
I didn't know you get wet. Anyone seen Training Day? No? Never mind.
I did.
Yeah, strike that from the record.
No, it's good. No, it's a good movie. Just that... You got to understand just that freight... That alone threw me, and then I realized what we were talking about. All the fingering going on here, really...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I really
brought that up in a bad environment.
I've been in a very tense mental space since the whole thing began.
Carrie, finger me.
I'll finger you anytime.
Oh, that was great.
I'll finger you real good.
That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was smoking PCP. He kills these two people. And then... He's not, but there's more.
Yeah, exactly. If you call right now, Aaron Hernandez will kill more people.
In 2013, he was in Miami to celebrate the Super Bowl, where a lot of bad things seem to happen. Miami and the Super Bowl.
It's Florida.
Yeah. He allegedly shot a man named Alexander Bradley in the face while they were driving on I-95. And Bradley was the friend who was with Hernandez at the club in Boston.
Well, there goes your alibi.
Hernandez was paranoid that Bradley was going to testify against him. So at one point, Bradley fell asleep in the car, and when he woke up, they were stopped in an alley, and Aaron Hernandez had a gun pointed at his face and shot him. But he initially refused to testify, but prosecutors later charged Hernandez with witness intimidation. And then he commits the murder.
And he lost an eye.
Yeah, the guy lost an eye.
Wait, so can you imagine not dying from getting shot in the face?
I know. Would you feel like kind of a badass?
I'd go hot air ballooning, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, for sure.
And then to Vegas. Take a hot air balloon to Vegas.
I'd go skydiving, I'd go rock mountain climbing. That's a stupid song.
Yeah, you know. Seconds on a ball named something.
Something.
What?
That's a song.
It's a Tim McGraw song.
Oh, that's why I don't know it. Tim McGraw's
song. It's
awful.
A Live Like You're Dying.
Oh. Live is that who sang that bullshit?
Yeah.
Yes.
I hate Tim McGraw.
Why?
Correct.
Don't yes me like that.
Why?
Even I don't
he's
like
it. Gross.
Him.
You're gross.
You're gross.
This is
finger me.
Good job, Carrie. You're gross.
Pretty scary gross.
Pretty scary boo. You're gross. That was good, Carrie. That made me really happy.
That was a good comeback.
I've never been so passionate about defending anyone. And my first person is Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw. Yeah, really. That's the hill to die on right there.
Yep.
Oh, so all this brings us to Odin Lloyd. He is the murder victim that finally undid Aaron Hernandez. He was a semi-pro football player and part-time landscaper who was dating the sister of Aaron Hernandez's fiancée.
Another fucking thing. Wait, so the sister.
The sister of his fiancée.
His future sister-in-law?
His future brother-in-law. If those two, like if everyone had gotten married, it would have been his future brother-in-law.
Okay, so he murdered his future brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I think the way Adam described this one at least makes sense.
Well, he, according to the timeline...
Somebody is not worried about word economy here, and it's not me. I'll tell you that right now.
What?
What?
Well, he was dating the sister of Aaron Hernandez's fiance. What do you want me to say? They're not, like, family at that point.
Just shot his future brother-in-law.
His play brother.
But I'd be like, future brother-in-law how? This explains it.
Well, yeah, if everyone lived to get married, he would be his future... Because no, he's not his future brother-in-law because he never got married.
Right. No, I'm on your side.
They were... Okay.
I'm going out this window. We're going to open it. I'm going to turn the air off first. Then I'm going out.
All right, here we go.
So Aaron Hernandez, according to the events of that night, he went to a nightclub on June 14th with Odin Lloyd. And at one point, Lloyd went to speak to some cousins who just entered the club. And one of them started aggressively pointing at Aaron Hernandez.
As Carrie would describe it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Aggressively fingering, yes, Aaron Hernandez. And telling Odin Lloyd that he shouldn't hang out with him. And an argument broke out between Lloyd and Hernandez, which was captured on security cameras. Hernandez stormed out of the club. But according to some reports, the two kept hanging out that night, got excessively drunk. And they think at one point he told Odin Lloyd about the murders in Boston. And Lloyd apparently told other people of the nightclub about those murders a few days later. So this is like the one murder that sort of makes sense.
This is the only one that makes sense.
Yeah. And the night before the murder, Aaron Hernandez...
How many people do you have to kill to make one murder make sense?
Exactly. The night before the murder, Aaron Hernandez is seen on his home security system shouting, "You can't trust nobody these days!" Shortly before texting Odin Lloyd to see if he wanted to hang out. Then he texted his childhood friends, Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz, and demanded that they drive to his home. And then they basically lured Odin Lloyd to come hang out. They exchanged a bunch of texts.
That does seem weird. Like, in the early morning hours, like, wouldn't she be suspicious? Like, why does he want me to come over at 3 a.m.?
Well, these are like there's like after parties and shit. Like,
I think these people are up.
Yeah, they're
I mean, if there's casual texting going on at 3 a.m., it's clearly everybody's awake for some reason. I don't get it, but that's what's happening.
Okay.
And, well, he initially texted him at like 9:30 that night and said, "We're going to hang out tonight."
That's still too late for me.
Yeah, it's still
if
way too late.
If somebody sends me a text message that says, like, "Let's hang out at 9:30, I'd be like, "Tomorrow?"
Yeah.
That's how cool
this
I
weekend?
Am.
This weekend?
Yeah. Labor Day? Mm-hmm. You could not mean tonight. That's not possible.
No.
I don't think that.
So then surveillance cameras show Odin Lloyd getting into a rented Nissan Altima at 2:33 a.m. with Hernandez, Wallace, and Ortiz. And from his text messages, it seemed like Lloyd knew there were problems right away because he started texting his sister saying things like, "You saw who I'm with, hello," and NFL. And his sister thought he was bragging at the time, but now they think he was trying to signal to her that he was going to be killed, because his last text to her just said, NFL, just so you know. The last text to his sister said, "Just so you know," that was sent at 3:23 a.m. At 3:25 a.m., surveillance cameras show that Nissan entering an industrial park and driving toward a secluded gravel pit.
Not good.
And then just 4 minutes later, those cameras show the car leaving again. And it's during this time that Odin Lloyd was killed execution style by Aaron Hernandez, who then returned home to destroy 6 hours of footage from his home security system and smash the cell phone he was carrying into pieces, which police just took and put back together because.
Yeah, I think that's where you find a large body of water.
Yeah.
I don't understand. But I mean, he's clearly not a streamlined thinker anyway. So
no, not at all.
So that, I mean, that to me seems like the most murdery murder.
That's got to be so creepy, too, to be watching the footage. And like 4 minutes later, they come back.
Yeah, he
like, you know what's happening off camera.
Yeah. This guy's an asshole.
And it was when they were investigating they found the SUV that was used in the Boston homicide. And that's how they ended up charging him with that. Because it was...
So they didn't have any leads or anything like that until then?
Yeah. Until this happened, they had no idea it was Aaron Hernandez who committed that. They kind of suspected the Florida one was him, but he just kind of got away with that. But this Boston one, they didn't actually know it was him until they started looking into this. Like, this guy's like a serial killer. It's crazy.
I was going to say, this is like not just, oh, I don't like this guy because he's dating my ex-girlfriend or something. This,
right. He has anger issues.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can you play the clip of the letter that
Did you send it to me?
Oh.
Because no.
Google Aaron Hernandez.
This is going well.
Female pen pal mean letter.
Check out that bass.
For Complex News, I'm Sean Evans. An early
Monday morning, you're for Complex
TMZ
News? No
published
way.
A letter from
Complex
prison pen
News.
By versioning NFL tight end turned convicted murderer Aaron Hernandez. The tone of Hernandez's letter is menacing throughout. He opens by blasting his pen pal.
Oh, Carrie, that CNN documentary is right on YouTube.
For an autograph. He also suggests that she use a fake address when ripping convicted killers in the future. I could easily send my so-called
that's actually good advice.
I chill with to your house. And what would happen then doesn't need to be explained. Smiley face. But that's not me.
I love that there's
Hernandez
a smiley
spent
face.
Spent the rest of page one, college ruled, by the way, suggesting
Thanks.
Various ways the fake fans
Thank
can
you,
kill
you
themselves.
Douchebag.
Hernandez's preference is that they buy the most powerful firecrackers in the world that's possible to buy.
Oh.
Tie it to your face with duct tape. Light it and wait for your head to explode.
Smiley face.
Another smiley
Hernandez
face.
Hernandez also spoke about his former team. He says he still watches and roots for the Patriots, though he's doing so from a small TV in his jail cell nowadays. Mm. Hernandez describes Tom Brady as the teammate he was probably closest to, along
I
with
don't
Deion
believe
Branch
that.
And
nope.
Julian Edelman.
Don't
Hernandez
believe it for one second.
Also gave a shout out to Rob Gronkowski, who Hernandez referred to as the best tight end ever to walk on a football field. But while Hernandez praised a handful of teammates, his words for Patriots owner Robert Kraft weren't quite so glowing.
Oh yeah,
Hernandez.
I feel like
Kraft
Carrie just wanted
pal,
to watch this so she could
fake,
eat the cake.
No loyalty, having nothing. And continued, Kraft, who told me he loved me every time he seen me, but obviously shows his word ain't. Hernandez closed
shit.
The letter by accommodating his pen pal's request for his
yep.
signature.
Not duty?
Just not saying, but it seems as
though word
Hernandez's
ain't Mrs. Duty.
Standard autograph messaging has changed a lot since the training camp days. Two chains, one big chopper. The world.
Fuck.
Hernandez. Hernandez Finger is currently
the world.
Serving a life sentence for the murder of Odin Lloyd. He's currently awaiting trial for an unrelated drive-by
like
shooting
that, cop.
That claimed the life of two Boston men in 2012. That's the news for now, but for more sports coverage, subscribe.
Hey, you get in here!
Like, there's nothing for him to fake anymore. He's already in jail. He's not going anywhere, so he might as well...
He's watching yeah. football from a tiny screen.
Might as well threaten people via letter.
Mm-hmm.
I like his suggestions, his suicide suggestions.
Yeah, that was a really elaborate suicide he was suggesting. What if you're in a state where fireworks are illegal? You're going to get arrested before you even commit the crime.
Adam, this is his preferred method.
Now, okay.
He's not saying that you can't find another way.
You're right.
This is his preferred method.
This is just his brand of suicide.
That's a good
for
point.
For fake fans. I'm sure he's got, you know, a spectrum of different suicide suggestions.
True.
What's the moral of this episode?
NFL players murder people.
Yeah.
There was
They've got some issues.
There's no real moral,
This
I don't
isn't
think.
Even a fraction of all of them, either.
No. There's so many.
I mean, it's a pretty significant sampling when you consider the population that we're talking about.
Well, why this sport more than any other? Although it is probably one of the most, more violent sports out there. Although MMA people,
I don't think that
they don't have a lot.
Well, we've talked a few times about cases of people getting head injuries and then turning into serial killers.
But wouldn't you think the MMA people, I mean, they're taking poundings to their head.
I think
and
the
they get
NFL,
cauliflower
I feel like
ears.
The NFL's probably a little worse in terms of concussions and just shock.
Yeah, because you're
the
not
head.
Supposed to kick people in the head in MMA, from what I understand. It's body shots. Like, you're supposed to be... But the thing... Here's the thing. Like, I posted something about this on my personal Facebook page on Super Bowl Sunday, and this guy got so mad at me. It was so funny. He was like,
good.
Why are you going after football? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I feel really sorry for the sad football players. I think the issue is that, for the most part, these are people that begin playing football at a pretty young age, and you're sustaining head injuries consistently for a really long period of time. And I have to say, again, just getting rear-ended twice with my one concussion and then a week later getting the crap kicked out of me again, and how long it took me to rebound and how long it's taken me to like feel like I can think straight again.
Yeah.
I could see how you would become a mentally ill person, like, especially since they give you all of these pain medications. Like, all of this like other like exploratory CTE theorizing aside, these guys are all on crazy anti-inflammatories and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Like,
yeah,
it just makes you and then if you have a background like that, you're gonna end up nuts.
And you smoke PCP.
And you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
You're testing as a psychopath.
Your psychopathy is off the charts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Trying to tell you, I think OJ did it. I still think OJ.
Yeah, we didn't even bring up OJ.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
I know. Well, why?
It's almost hard. Like, you almost don't even think of him as a football player.
That's like talking about The Godfather.
Because he was like an actor at the end or something.
You want to talk about good movies? You're going to bring up The Godfather? Okay.
That is a good movie.
Of course. Of course. Not the problem. Just enough ink has been spilled on that now, you know?
Yeah.
Man, you guys, this did not make me a sports fan. I'll say that.
No.
I'm still a nerd.
Yeah.
Happily.
This will not make you warm up to the NFL.
Although you could make the argument that nerds have killed way more people than any football player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Way more.
But do worse in prison.
The hydrogen bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They do worse in prison. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
So this was fun.
It was very fun.
Again. I mean,
fun's probably not the right word
for it. I have fun. I had a good time. I had a good time. Thank you guys so much for listening to Pretty Scary again.
Yeah.
You could expect some more exciting episodes on the horizon that are less sporty.
We really have to do the Cecil Hotel. We've been talking
about
it.
Yeah, when are we going to do that?
I don't know. Everything got screwed up.
Going to put something on the books.
It's going to happen.
We'll get it done.
Get her done. All right. I think we should do something supernatural again next time.
I do too. Yeah. We're getting too real lately.
Too real.
We need to get also real, but in a different way, because ghosts are real.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts are real.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about that.
So do we have anything to plug besides ghosts?
March 3rd, performing under the influence.
PUI.
PUI. We're all going to be there. You should come. It's free. I learned
all
that.
All the Unpops people.
Mm-hmm. All of us.
Yep. The Hollywood Hotel.
Hollywood Hotel. March 3rd.
What time?
We know so much about our shows.
You know.
We'll be sharing. Oh, hey, you know what?
I think it's at 8.
We have a Facebook page. It's the Unpopular Opinion Facebook page, and we post a lot of fun stuff there, and you should go like that page, and we will be posting information about performing under the influence there.
Yeah, we'll post all the things.
And Twitter, of course. Follow us.
Follow us on Twitter, at Unpops.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Instagram, at unpops.podcast. Follow us on YouTube.
What?
At Unpops. We have a YouTube page.
Yeah,
we got it all.
We got it all.
We got everything you could
need.
We
got bitches and hoes.
Carrie, wow!
I saw you look down towards my finger.
All right, we fingered over it. We're fine now.
Hey, you should also listen to White Wine True Crime. You can find us on iTunes. White Wine True
Edit
Crime.
Edit this out, Brett.
God, that's really confused me. I'm really confused now. Carrie, where can they find White Wine True Crime on Twitter?
White Wine, no, WWT Crime.
Yep.
Yes, White. But then we have a
Instagram account, White Wine True Crime.
And then we also have a
Facebook page, White Wine True Crime.
And
we have a website.
We have a website. It's whitewinetruecrime.com. And we're going to be selling merch on there pretty soon. Yes. So that's nice. Exciting.
Correct.
Yep. There we go.
All right. This was fun.
I'm happy.
Let's get the hell out of
Let's
here.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Why does my headphones sound weird?
It's because your head is... unremarkable.
Because my unremarkable.
You have
head.
An unremarkable head.
At least I'm not a clumsy runner.
That's me. That's
too many things.
I'm that one on our team.
Yeah,
the clumsy runner.
You combine me and Caitlin, Mothman.
Yeah. With the 20-minute mile.
Yep. All right. Let's
bye,
get out
everybody.
Of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Caitlin, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
I love you. Oh, my God.